Hello and welcome to Docupied, podcast about anime, manga, light novels, and industry news. I'm your host, Brandon, otherwise known as Doc Pay, and this week we'll be talking about the light novel series In the Land of Liadel by C's? Keys? I'm really not sure how to say the author's name, but it's spelled C-E-E-Z. C's. Published in English by Yen On, or Yen Press. So, In the Land of Liadel. Liadel? Man, things are just, I'm not sure how to pronounce them in English after hearing them in Japanese and reading them. Liadel? It's probably Liadel. We're going to go with that, because that's how the Japanese pronunciation kind of it goes. Anyway, this light novel series, the history of it is somewhat interesting. So, first things first, it is currently ongoing. It looks like there's 7 volumes out in Japan, 4 volumes in English. The 5th volume is due to release in April. I'll say I have read the first 3 volumes, and it has a currently airing anime adaptation with 2 episodes out so far. I actually had an eye on this when it released, the first volume released from Yen Press, I want to say last year, but that sounds wrong now, I guess in 2020, because I have a soft spot for OP protagonists, fantasy worlds, or MMO. Like, yeah, it's a tried and true genre, but sometimes it can be fun to wallow in the filth, as it were. But anyway, so a long time ago, I bought the first volume and never ended up reading it, because then after I bought it, other things came up I was more interested in, and I saw some fairly middling discussion about how good the series was. And so I was like, all right, fine, back of the line, I'll read other things. And so I did. Well, now that the anime is finally airing, I watched the first episode, and in usual fashion, I was like, well, I have the light novel, I may as well read it. And so I did. And then I read the first 3 volumes, and I would have liked to have read all 4 that were available before doing this, but one can only read so much, and so I only got through the first 3. But that's plenty to form an opinion and give, you know, an impressions here. I've done the same with a lot less. Anyway, the first episode of the anime I thought was quite fun, if wholly unoriginal. It was still, yeah, it was pretty fun. I enjoyed it, and so I was like, okay, let me just pop over the light novel and read it and go from there. I later learned some of the history behind this light novel. It is, as many light novels are, based on a web novel series from Naro, and it was originally written in like 2010. So this was at the like very start and like very early on in terms of the like reincarnated in a video game type stories, which explains a lot in terms of plot and writing and characters. It is, well, you can tell it's in like early 2010s web novel origin. So that's going to be, I'm going to say, the overall takeaway for anyone interested in checking this series out is going to be that do not go in expecting a twist on the formula or something terribly original. This is one of the earlier ones and therefore very expected, generic in a lot of ways. And frankly, it's really not like the best written thing. So in that respect, I totally agree with some of like the feeling of it being kind of it's a middling light novel series. That does not mean, however, it's not enjoyable in its own way. That doesn't mean there aren't things to like about it. And, you know, I'm continuing to read it, and I think the anime is doing a fun job of adapting the story so far. So while this might not be my most like rousing endorsement of a series, I think there's plenty in here for people who like this kind of story. So yeah, let's kind of jump into what it's about. So In the Land of Liadel, you could categorize it as are reincarnated in a video game. Well, not reincarnated, but like trapped in a video game, medieval fantasy, slice of life adventure story. And throw in OP protagonist. Let me just read the description from the first volume from Yen Press. New beginnings in familiar lands. After a horrific accident put her on life support, the last vestige of freedom Kena Kagami had was in the VR MMORPG, World of Liadale. When she wakes up in the body of her game avatar, though, Kena, now Kena, finds that the worries of her old life appear to be a thing of the past, but somehow, this new land doesn't seem to be quite the Liadale she remembers. Though Kena spelled traditional Japanese way into Kena spelled differently for the game, K-E-I-N-A versus C-A-Y-N-A, but both pronounced Kena as far as I know. So I would say that summary does the job of like the very, very basic setup of the first chapter. The main gimmick of the world that she's like wakes up in is that it is set 200 years in the future of when the game was set in the world of Liadale. It's not a spoiler, you'll discover that like immediately. It is just like the premise of the world. The in-game world was comprised of like seven nations, which were basically just player groups that then fought in various PvP battles, competed for stuff for fun. And now 200 years in the future, they were reorganized into three new different kingdoms, and the world appears to be real, with all the NPCs being real people, and a lot of the things of the game have both transferred and also shifted. So in a way, the setup is somewhat reminiscent of something like Log Horizon, in terms of it's a game world that is both like the game world and distinctly not the game world. Now, that's not necessarily meant to say please compare it to Log Horizon, because Log Horizon is very smartly written in terms of the way the setting is portrayed and changes throughout the story, and like the world itself and how the characters interact with it. It's very well constructed. This is not. The world building is very slapdash. It's very, the narrator just kind of picks up and blabbers on about whatever piece of information is going to be immediately relevant to the thing, as if it, you know, everyone should have known that, or that obviously like Kena knew that, but they're just sharing it with us. So like, well, this is definitely how it is here. It frequently doesn't build to things or let the like Kena or the characters really discover them so much as we're just kind of flat out told how things are all the time. So right off the bat, the world building is generic. And in fact, you could call this almost a pet peeve of mine, of someone who likes stuff in this genre and still does enjoy, you know, isekai or OP protagonists or game worlds, that many of the actual games that are supposed to be like, you know, this popular MMO that exists in the series that the characters are then transported into always sound awful. As someone who likes to play games, they frequently just sound like things no one would play, or things that like not many people would actually bother with. And yet Liadale is supposed to be some super popular MMO, and it's just like, nah. The way that it's written is clearly done to make Kena some crazy overpowered protagonist, especially in the context of the world, and to give the author the freedom to kind of do whatever they want. Kena has thousands of like skills. She's known as a skill master, or the third skill master even, because she has obtained every skill in the game, even is a limit breaker, one of 13 or 14 in the game, that was able to surpass the max level of the game of 1,000, and so she's level 1,100, and apparently the admins of the game gave them like almost GM-like powers or abilities. It's just kind of nonsense. The game sounds terrible. There's no way people would want to play that, or at least to the degree that it sounds like people do in this world. It's my own little personal pet peeve of many of these. I'm just like, always want to ask the author, like, is this a game you think you want to play? Really? Like, you have the option to write your own, like, personal best scenario MMO, but I guess it's maybe a little easier to write inside of a world that essentially anything goes in the game, and so anything can go for Kena. She's basically able to do whatever the fuck she wants, and the author is then therefore able to use her in any way to solve or set up or whatever the various like plot lines, because she can literally do anything. She has essentially no restrictions within the world of the game, essentially, or the world of Liadel. All of that aside from me personally not being super convinced of the game world of Liadel, it is fairly a generic medieval fantasy setting with magic and monsters. There are some mysteries that they set up, you know, in terms of like what happened in those 200 years, or what happened 200 years ago within the land of the world, why are they there, and like what about the other players, which that does the other players is something that does get introduced and answered to a degree, but the story is not really focused on those mysteries, and neither is Kena herself as a character. She's not that interested in them. I'll talk about the characters a bit after this, but so I guess because we're going to talk a little plot after we talk world building, but the plot is meandering. Kena herself is meandering. The author seems generally unsure of like what direction to focus the story on, whether it's the slice of life aspects of Kena living her life with the people around her and just doing her thing, or the mystery of the Guardian Towers. They introduce some things about the abandoned capital, which if you know what it is, you know what it is. But there's some mysteries there surrounding the game world, or like what happened to Kena and the other players. Why are they there? Why is it 200 years in the future? What the heck happened? Is it still the game world? Where are the administrators? Like, there are a number of mysteries the author tries to set up, or not just mysteries, but like plot threads and angles that are constantly getting ignored or derailed for like random side things, or just following along with Kena living her life, or adopting a daughter, or running around and meeting her adopted NPC kids and then grandkids and so on. And then there's the mysterious AI support character who exists there, which is like barely addressed. There's just a whole lot that's like, what? So in that respect, it is not the most focused light novel. It's pretty difficult to actually discern what the point of the story will continue to be and what direction it intends to go and what kind of story it wants to be. I'd say the majority of it will end up feeling like kind of a slice of life-esque slow life type story. So don't go in expecting big sweeping mysteries about the MMO and the game or a ton of high stakes or high adrenaline action. Kena is super OP, so just that is what it is. I can enjoy that in its own way, but it is not meant to be that kind of fantasy adventure. It's more of a very laid back, slow lifestyle story. So in that respect, that is kind of the vibe. But then again, the author introduces all this other stuff that meanders and it's conflicting. And suffice it to say, I just don't think the writing is that good overall. It's definitely an early 2010s not a web novel in terms of like writing, which is maybe unfair because there's some very good ones, but this is just very middling, mediocre, which is unfortunate, but is what it is. The world and the plotting are just not going to blow anyone away, which then I guess leads us into the maybe strongest part of the whole thing, which is the characters. Kena herself is fairly enjoyable to watch. She's down to earth. She's pretty laid back. Has this fairly like normal girl vibe to her, who just goes with the flow. So as a main character, Kane is pretty good. She occasionally gets written with some like weirdly adverse reactions to certain things, and it feels very Japanese light novel in the way that some of the character dialogue is written, or like some of the exchanges between characters are written when like they do something Kena is for some reason unhappy with or otherwise wasn't fond of. It's very Japanese light novel. It's hard to explain it in any other real way, but if you kind of know what I'm getting at, it has that very specific vibe to it. And so definitely at times dialogue and conversations are weird. I'm not entirely sure it's something that's present like that in the original writing. I think so, because I don't think the translation would be able to like improve or necessarily change up like the flow, like the way the dialogue is written. I don't think that's a translation thing. I think it's just a writing thing from the looks of it. The author's just like not very good at writing, at least to me, convincing like exchanges between characters. I don't know. But anyway, the characters themselves are pretty entertaining. Like I said, Kane is a decent protagonist, and I think the characters overall are probably going to be the main reason you'll read or watch this. And I would say mainly, definitely Kena herself is going to have to be your breaking point. If you're reading it and think, yeah, she's okay, you can keep reading and you'll be able to enjoy it probably. If you don't like Kena, then, you know, she's the main character, so you have your answer. There are a number of characters around her, or like NPC kids that she adopts, are three of the more enjoyable. You have her oldest son, who is a male elf priest named Scargo, and he's a super mama's boy, which leads to some fun, enjoyable sequences. You have Mai Mai, who is also an elf, who is the headmistress of the Royal Academy in the country that they're like based in. And then you have the youngest, who is Kartaz, who is a dwarf crafter and like head of this like shipyard in the country. Interestingly, in the anime, voiced by Sugita, so that's always fun. Then you have the various like characters from the village, the remote village that becomes fairly common and central to Kena's story and adventures and life, especially after certain events where she ends up kind of living there. But it's hard to say that any of them have any like real character to them. Lit is very cute. She's just like the young daughter of the proprietor of the inn that Kena originally awakens in, and she becomes a fairly recurring character along with her mother Morel. But they're not characters that are going to necessarily change or grow. They're just kind of there. But Lit is cute and fun when she's within the story. Some of the other characters I could talk about are a little, it's not spoilers, but you're not entirely meant to know what their deal is before you meet them. That said, I guess on the other hand, the story isn't exactly quiet about it, because the story generally, or the writer, or the narrator, I should say, generally just kind of spells things out pretty quickly. But anyway, we'll stop there. So suffice it to say, I do think the characters are fairly enjoyable. The character interactions and dialogue are written in a very Japanese light novel-esque way, with generally some heavy, like, straight man, you know, tsukomi boke type writing. And I do often think the author maybe relies on that a little too heavily, or like there's always someone that either is like, so there's always someone straight manning Kena, or someone being straight manned by Kena. It's, I don't know, it does feel a little lazy at times, which I guess then brings me to maybe the last kind of aspect of the story, which is that the story is almost exclusively told through Kena's perspective, through the form of a narrator that is like an omniscient type narrator, interspersed with various characters' inner thoughts. But it is generally Kena's perspective, even though it's not always necessarily written directly from her POV. It does on occasion flash to other characters and tell stories about or tell things happening to them. On occasion, it's not like there really isn't a, like there may be a main character's perspective in that scene, but sometimes it's just the narrator describing the scene and then there's dialogue in between kind of thing. I'd say that omniscient narrator is, or at least contributes to, some of the problems of the writing, being that the author relies on it to just flat out say things or explain things rather than let the story develop and show them. It's a distinctive, like, writing crutch, I think, in this case. So, yeah, I definitely sound like I'm being harsh on this novel, and maybe I am, but there are things here to enjoy if you like this type of story, if you're not really worried about there being a main plot that's particularly invested in or developed at any real pace, if you're okay with just, or you enjoy the characters just doing what they do. There are things to like about it, and I'm still reading it. I don't dislike it. I just think it's very generic and mediocre overall. And if you're looking for something like this, I do think there are just better written options that can fulfill some of the roles of this story that you're looking for just better. But it is also one of the earlier examples of this, like, 2010s not a wake up in a video game world story, and so I have to acknowledge that, you know, it came pretty early in that fad, and we're only really getting it now, so it seems rote and generic now when you look and compare it to all these things that came after it that did it better and twisted the genre a little bit better. But the real caveat there is I still don't think the writing is particularly strong, regardless of all that. And again, I do still somewhat enjoy it, and I think the anime so far, the first two episodes, have actually been quite light and enjoyable. Had some funny moments, nothing crazy, but a decent enough watch. And so it's a fairly inoffensive thing to read or watch if you're just looking for another woke up in a video game style story. So yeah, I think that's going to wrap me up. Overall, In the Land of Liadel is okay. It's not bad. It's not great. The world building and writing are both fairly uninspired, but at least the characters can be pretty fun. Yeah, so there you have it. That's In the Land of Liadel, written by Seas, published in English by Yen Press. Like I said, there are 4 volumes currently available. The 5th one is due out in April. The anime is currently airing. So let me know what you think. Have you watched the first episodes? Have you read the light novel? Interested to hear your thoughts on it. So thanks for listening. You can follow my Twitter, I am DocPay, for updates. And please, if you like Docupied, leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Every review helps. I'll catch you next time.